Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to the show. We are the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies and home of the five-star technician. They're online at cropmetcalf.com. Thank you for tuning in this Friday, August 23rd, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning. And Johnny Cakes Auville.
Happy Friday to everybody within earshot.
Big Friday fan, not only because it's the end of the weekend, but because we get a delivery later in the day from Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Deserves a clap. Nice and early on a Friday morning. I agree with you, JP.
So I'll
smoothies
be looking forward.
And wraps for everyone.
Looking forward to the delivery from Tropical Smoothie
of
Cafe.
Of course we are.
Later in the program. Got a lot to cover on today's show. We will talk some movies. Kevin joins us at 7. He joins us every Friday at 7 o'clock to give us the latest at the box office. I don't know.
I think your mic's not working, bud.
Nicole Kidman has a movie coming out.
Don't know anything about it.
I don't know if it comes out this weekend, but I don't know that there's a biggie this weekend, so we'll talk to Kevin, find out what's going on at the movies.
As far as I'm concerned, now with college football starting and the NFL looming, like anything that you wanted to see at the theater, hopefully you've seen it already. Because now you're going to get ramped into college and pro football in the next 2+ weeks.
So we'll get the latest though from Kevin at 7. Rick Snyder, who covers the Redskins amongst other things, will join us at 7:20 for 106.7 The Fan. It's Friday. That means John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, joins us, and our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman will join us. He was in Atlanta for the third preseason game. Of course, it is a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. I would say three big storylines last night. One, everybody's fired up for Darius Geis. Two, regardless of what he says, Case Keenum's the starting quarterback.
Right.
Come week one, and he looked, I thought, pretty good despite the fumble slash interception. And three, Jordan Reed concussed again.
To me, that's the biggest story.
Yeah, I think that's your biggest hit.
I think he's going to be gone for a month.
I mean, he's in the concussion protocol. It's reportedly his seventh concussion of his career. Those are just the ones that have been reported. Who knows? I mean, you could possibly have more.
Now, these guys can, in the regular season, it's happened. They can get cleared in a week. But because this is his seventh, I think they're going to be overly cautious. I'm predicting, I know nothing, I'm just a jerk on the radio, I'm predicting he's gone a month.
Now, he played after the hit. So he didn't immediately go in the concussion protocol, but he had some of the symptoms afterwards.
Right, which is
normal. And when you saw the
hit,
you was like, I mean, his helmet flew off.
Oh, yeah. It was a helmet to helmet. Like, it was brutal. It was a brutal hit.
Does the concussion protocol, does it have any teeth? Does it have any real parameters? Because usually if a guy's helmet flies off and the hit is that violent, isn't the guy immediately like supposed to be removed from the field?
Well, I think they may have asked him some questions. Supposedly, it's just the symptoms kicked in later. So they may have asked him and looked at him, and he was fine. But it's not atypical in concussions that your symptoms come a little later. So, I mean, regardless, he got dinged up, and it's his seventh, and I don't see them rushing him back. You know he's not playing next week. He wasn't playing next week anyway. So that's at least 2 weeks. Maybe he'll be good to go. I don't know. We can hope.
And we were talking about it before the show that once you get into the 6-7 concussion range, that's where guys start thinking about their long-term health, or they should be.
Yeah.
I mean, can you really sustain 10 concussions and think that there aren't going to be long-term ramifications when you're older and retired from the NFL?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's something that he and his inner circle are going to have to think about.
Yeah.
Do you blame Jay Gruden? Some people on social media were blaming Gruden saying, why were you playing him in the first place? It's football. No, it's I don't blame him for giving Jordan Reed a few reps. You saw Jordan Reed before that one drop a pass where Keenum...
Might have been the first pass he's dropped in 2019.
Right, but Keenum zipped it in there on a third down. It was a little bit in front of Reed, but I felt like that's something he's, you know, he had two guys right around him. Maybe he was bracing for a hit. You got to give him a couple of reps where there's going to be some contact. I think. I don't blame Jay Gruden here. Here's what Gruden said about Jordan Reed and what he's looking at moving forward.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you stand up here all the time and you start to worry about these injuries all the time. These guys got to go out and play football. They got to practice, and it's unfortunate. Hopefully he'll be okay. I just talked to him, and we just got to go through the process, though. This is something that it's out of our hands now. He's got to go through the protocol and get to the doctors, and hopefully he'll be okay. But fortunately, nobody else got injured, but it's necessary. I thought the work was necessary for our entire football team today.
Gruden's in a lose-lose because if he wraps him in bubble wrap on the sideline, people are going to ask him, why didn't you play Jordan Reed? Why didn't you give him a few reps? Then he plays him, and he gets nicked up, and now it's you're irresponsible because you played Jordan Reed in a meaningless exhibition game. So he cannot win in this situation.
Well, I'll tell you, the guy I was honed in on, and you know, the Reed injury was jarring, but I was honed in on Geis. I thought Geis probably had about 5 or 6 carries more than he needed because right. I was with Clinton.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Clinton Portis, who I goofed on early on when he first started at sideline reporting because he clearly was a fish out of water. He has gotten comfortable. I enjoy watching him. Just a huge amount of respect for that guy who's worked on his game.
Yeah, he's trying to get better.
And
he'll never be a natural.
Yeah, he's never going to be, you know, like a sideline reporter on Monday Night Football.
He has clearly improved.
He's improved dramatically.
Better.
He's comfortable, and it's not uncomfortable to watch. It's kind of fun to watch now.
Right.
So I have a tremendous amount of respect for Clinton. But I was right there with him going, why do you keep giving him the ball? He looks great. He looks better than I thought. He's got the burst. He's got the power. He's not afraid to initiate contact. Get him out of there.
Yeah, I thought like
two
series.
Get about 4 or 5 too-minute carries.
2 series, that's all you need to see.
I saw plenty.
Like, the end of the first half, they're slamming him into the backs of the offensive linemen. I'm like, what is happening
and
here?
And we said that going in. I said, give him the AP amount of carries.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson had 4 carries, which was maybe 3 carries too much because I believe in the second preseason game, his first carry was the one he went for like 30 yards. You're like, okay,
right.
He still has the burst. Looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I felt
same
like
thing.
Get him out of there.
Were you rooting to get him out of there?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought 4 or 5 carries was enough for Darius Geis. He showed you enough.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wanted to push that envelope.
And then I would probably say the same thing for Chris Thompson. Like, I agree, it is a lose-lose proposition for these head coaches. There are more and more guys who just aren't playing. Like, there were 6 games, I think, last night.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers didn't play. Tom Brady did. You know, it just depends on your coach. There's some coaches, McVay's not playing his starters at all.
Well, the Packers-Raiders situation.
That was a joke.
Was a full-on debacle.
Did you hear about this?
They played on a Canadian Football League field.
They're only playing
in
80
Winnipeg.
Yards.
I guess they had issues because in a CFL game, which I haven't watched one of those in 30 years, the goalposts are in the field of play. Of course, you can't have that in an NFL game. They move the goalposts. I guess the Packers had an issue with the way the turf was lining up where they removed the goalposts. Gruden was just saying, hey, the field's fine, man. We'll play on whatever. I guess the Packers had an issue with it, and they were planning on playing Aaron Rodgers, but I guess they saw the field and said, nope, not going to risk our franchise or any of our other top players. I mean, that's a disaster what happened.
But it is a tough spot because, all right, you don't want to play Darius Geis much. They probably played him more than you would like. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Chris Thompson's another guy that you need on bubble wrap.
Yep.
They gave him a couple carries. Like, you know what you're going to get from Chris Thompson.
But yeah,
but
I have
to
say,
you do want him to have a little game action.
It was nice to see that burst, too, because he's got even more burst than Geis.
Sure.
You know, more quickness. So I kind of like seeing that. I wasn't as worried.
But you know that he only has a certain amount of hits in him. You know
right.
how you only have a certain amount of bendovers in golf?
Yeah.
He only has a certain amount of hits.
Chris Thompson, his number of touches is like 8 to 10 per game, like maximum. Like, that's his ceiling.
Sure.
That's
in a preseason game, you think about 2 or 3.
Yeah. Preseason, definitely.
But I actually think now with the addition of Geis and with AP, you know, if you lose Chris Thompson, it hurts, but it's not devastating like it was if, like when you don't have a Geis. You know what I mean? So I wasn't obsessed on Thompson's touches, to be honest with you.
And I can't remember if it was Neil Greenberg on our show or somebody else. Maybe I just saw it. The funny thing about Chris Thompson, they looked at the numbers. People consider him a third down back. He's actually least efficient on third down and most efficient on first down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Well, he just doesn't look like a typical every down back, so that's why people.
That's why guys like Warren Sharp, who run all the analytics and numbers, it's why they pull their hair out when coaches always want to run guys on first down. They're always run first, run, where you should be opening up the playbook and passing more on first down. Because
right.
Guys are more effective on first down than on third. Because on third down, Chris Thompson comes in the game, everybody knows what's happening.
Right.
You know what's happening when Chris Thompson's in on third down.
Right.
So Jordan Reed, definitely the biggest thing that you take away
that
from last night's game.
That was the worst outcome from yesterday.
Geis number two. I would say Keenum number three. If I had to think of something else, it would be defense looks like what we expect it to be. A pretty good defense. Saw Landon Collins make a couple plays.
Can I
say
this?
He was flashing. Landon Collins was definitely flashing.
I need to see a little bit more from Sweat. I was a little
Sweat
bit
was
disappointed.
Close to getting a
he
sack.
Was close.
I think he had a hit.
And I haven't seen that I haven't seen that 4.4 speed, that explosion show up on the tape yet. At least when I've been watching.
Well, a guy that does
I haven't seen
that,
it.
That does catch my eye every single time now is Payne.
Yeah,
when
he's
that dude collapses offensive linemen,
yeah.
he just wreaks havoc when he's out there.
Right.
That dude is going to be a problem for offensive linemen in the NFC East for a long time.
And then I thought offensively, it was great to see Donald Penn in there because I'm not a huge Jerron Christian fan. It's only a matter of time before Donald Penn is the starting left tackle. Hopefully it's week one. And I thought the line obviously held up better. I think Ereck Flowers had some struggles, but I think he also had some good plays too. So I don't know. Maybe they'll be able to manage and scheme around that.
And I think they like him in the run game better than the pass game. He did have one huge whiff.
Yeah.
Just
ran right by him.
Yeah, defensive lineman went right around him.
He took a step, I believe, to the left initially, and it was the wrong. He just stepped the wrong way.
Too late.
And he just opened up a huge hole
right.
Where the defensive lineman screamed through.
Now, I will say this, too. This was one of my big takeaways last night. I am warming up to Haskins. I thought he wasn't amazing by any stretch, but I think I've seen some progress every week. And he looks to me like if they threw him in there, that the world just wouldn't collapse. It wouldn't just fall apart. Yeah, so I'm warming up to Haskins. So that was good for me personally. It doesn't matter what I think, but for me personally, I'm warming up to him.
And through three games, you can see he can move around better than what people expected, move around in the pocket. He does have a tendency to sail the ball a little bit.
He's not super consistent. He's not super accurate. But the arm talent is such, and I also like, I think Joe talked about it, he doesn't seem to have any fear. Like, if he has a bad play, he just comes right back.
I think he's showing that he has the head for the game, too.
Pretty good moxie.
I believe it was a third down, and he zipped one in to one of the scrubby tight ends. Either it was Holtz or Flanagan.
Flanagan.
And they dropped it.
Yeah.
But it was one of those deals where he saw, like, a quick little blitz.
Yeah.
And threw a quick slant.
Yeah.
It was good play. The guy in the hands.
Good play. Yeah, it was good play.
It was one of the scrubby tight ends.
But then they had the block or the fumbled punt, and they got it right back.
I think it was Flanagan. And it was right
Flanagan.
On the hands.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a nice little play. It looked like probably something he saw right there at the line.
Yeah.
Just a quick pass.
I also thought, you know, Keenum was fine. Move the ball around, spread the ball around a little bit. I mean, it's obviously frustrating that they can't put more points on the board, the first-team offense. I mean, how many points have the first-team offense scored this preseason? They scored, like, nine?
Not many.
Yeah. I mean, did they even have a touchdown, the first team? I'm not sure. Maybe one touchdown. I don't know. I thought overall, I was pretty pleased. Although, I do want to see more from Sweat. I'm disappointed that Reed's out. I'm going to say Reed's out for a month. And other than that, though, looks pretty good.
All right, phone number's 800-636-1067. Give us your take. Are you, through three games, more encouraged by this Redskins team? Discouraged? Your thoughts on Geis? You have to be psyched for Geis. Everybody was psyched for Geis.
You have to be. Have to be.
Your thoughts on Jordan Reed and more. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Redskins take over at their 29. Darius Geis in the backfield. Our first look at Paul Richardson. He and Dotson are the wideouts. This is Geis, first game action since the preseason opener last August in Foxborough against the Patriots.
Good job by the right side of this offensive line. It'll be the left of your screen. Does a real nice job of running down the defensive lineman. Darius does a real nice job of finding the cutback.
So Darius Geis makes his preseason debut for the Washington Redskins last night in Atlanta. Nobody cares about the outcome of the game, 19-7 Redskins win. But Geis looked impressive, 11 carries, 44 yards, also hauled in a pass from Case Keenum in that game. A negative takeaway, Jordan Reed concussed during the game, so that's concerning for Redskins fans going forward. We're taking your calls, 800-636-1067. What were your impressions from the Redskins dress rehearsal, game number three of the preseason? I mean, you're not going to see the starters in week four against the Ravens.
No, that's pretty much it.
It's just not going to happen.
Now you just got to wait. Again, you know, for me, obviously, Geis jumped out at everybody. That was awesome. Put him on ice, shut him down, seen what we need to see. He's going to be dynamic, more explosive than I anticipated coming off the ACL in his first little action. So that's great to see. I really like our trio of running backs there. And then I tell you, man, I'm warming up to Haskins a little bit. I was not that high on him, but he's slowly but surely showing me, man, this guy, if they had to throw him in there, he can make some big plays.
Yeah, right. I think Haskins.
There's no doubt about it.
Look, he's going. In my opinion, he's going to be the starter around week five or six. It's only a matter of time. But Keenum looks like he's a competent game manager. Here's what Case Keenum said after the game about the receivers that he's dealing with.
I trust all of them. I really do. I think that entire room is talented. I think that entire room can play football in the NFL. You know, so no matter what happens there, you know, I think they're going to be on a roster somewhere. I think a lot of those guys have shown it in games too. So, you know, yeah, I'm glad I'm not making those decisions, you know, with those guys. But I'm excited to see where our receiving crew, you know, goes, because I think having a healthy Paul, you know, Josh getting going on the outside, having a healthy Trey, you know, getting Terry back out there. I mean, you can keep naming the list, but to go along with our backs and tight ends, having some guys that can make plays outside, you know, the ball in the end zone to Terry. I mean, I just, you know, giving him a chance, and he goes back and does a great job of drawing the PI. It's a big play. You know, it's a third down conversion, you know, first down and goal on the one. So having trust in those guys, they can all do that. And I'm excited to see what type of identity, you know, our offense is going to have throwing the football.
As middling as I think his talent is, he is quite the gamer and the leader. I mean, you just tell, like, from that clip. And they played a clip last night during the game, during I don't know if it was halftime or just in the course of the game, where he was just talking about, like, going to battle with his teammates, and he's got their back and they have his back. And I can see why the Redskins want him in the quarterback room. It makes sense,
right?
Especially as if he's like a placeholder for Haskins, you bring in Haskins either mid-year, late year, depending on what happens with the record. I see what they like in Keenum, at least from the leadership
and as far
side
as,
of it.
Yeah, I like it too. I like his moxie. And as far as the receivers go, I'm with him. I think the receiving group nationally is underrated. Like, I think these guys, that could be crazy. Could be like an old thing where these guys are all just sort of like preseason hopefuls, and then you hear from them again. But I mean, Cam Sims flashed for the first time really in the preseason, and they said he'd had a great camp in Richmond. It was good to see. You can see they kept targeting Steve Sims. I would not let Steve Sims go.
Right.
I would not expose him.
Now, Haskins just missed him on a touchdown pass.
He was there. They targeted him at least three times. I'm not even sure you brought any of them in, but I like Sims. I like that ability. Kelvin Harmon's growing on me, too. I like him.
McKenzie keeps making plays.
Yeah, I like this receiving core. I'm telling you, I would cut Josh Doctson. I just think there's no upside there. It's over. But I guess if they want to keep him around as a red zone guy, okay. But
here's
Harmon's 6'2".
Right. Here's what I think about the receiving core. And Keenum talks about it. They have a lot of guys who are talented, but they're all talented kind of the same level. They don't have anybody who's really good.
Right. They don't have don't have a Julio Jones.
Their leading receiver, obviously, if it's not a tight end, maybe Trey Quinn, but they're going to be a bunch of guys with 20 catches.
Maybe. I don't see anybody that I see as like an instant Pro Bowl or anything like that. I just think they're all capable, and I think they all have some big playability in them.
I think they are all capable. I don't know
how he's going to
distinguish between any of them.
Listen
to Keenum, it does seem like, and it's just been the depth chart since day one, that if healthy, it's going to be Doxson, Quinn, and Richardson. Those are your starters.
Richardson hasn't shown me much in a long time. You're going to probably see
McLaurin every once in a while for a series. They drafted him, and you know he did draw a pass interference on an underthrown ball there by Case. And then, you know, these other guys will get a few reps here and there.
But the problem is,
I just like their depth.
The passing game's it's going to rely a lot, obviously, on Jordan Reed, and now he's concussed. And there's talk of Trey Quinn being heavily involved, and he can't get on the field for the third preseason game.
We haven't seen the first team offense.
You've got to be worried a little bit about that.
Here's what Keenum said about his own performance.
You know, something I don't need to do is a, you know, first initial kind of synopsis offensively. First half, I thought we moved the ball pretty well. You know, obviously, I like scoring touchdowns a lot better than field goals. But, you know, there's certain things when you get down in the red, low red, you know, that you don't necessarily game plan some of that stuff. I thought we moved the ball really well. You know, the turnover was completely my fault. You know, poor decision. I held onto the ball too long. You know, I thought, you know, I think, you know, just something I was trying to manipulate some coverage with my eyes and, you know, something I don't need to do is a silly mistake. I don't need to put our defense in that situation. And honestly, they played really, really, really well all night tonight, whoever was out there. I mean, I think that was the only points they scored, right? So, you know, something I pride myself in, taking care of the football was, you know, something I can do better on that particular play.
It was an unfortunate play. I think what I've seen from Case Keenum is about what I expected. I didn't expect him to be the Case Keenum that he was in Minnesota, but he does have the ability to put up big numbers in certain games. I don't necessarily expect him to be as bad as he was last year in Denver, where they got rid of him after a season and brought in Joe Flacco and drafted Drew Locke. I think somewhere in the middle is where Case Keenum is. He'll be a fine enough game manager. Unfortunately, I don't think this team, though I think all those guys are capable, I don't think they have enough game breakers. I don't think they have enough big weapons, and they're going to be a low-scoring team.
Well, it seems like they're going to be a low-scoring team based on what they've done in the preseason, so we'll see. I just think they're capable. So.
All right. It is a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino, Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. You want to chime in?
Anybody else, by the way, looking for more from Sweat? I'm looking for more burst and more, okay, if you don't make the sack, that's fine. More pressures, more disruption.
I don't know that he's played that much.
Played a decent amount last night.
Yeah,
I watched him every time he's on the field.
But did Jonathan Allen do anything big yesterday?
Well, I've seen Allen. He's proven. Right. No, but I've been watching Montez Sweat since week one. That's like the one guy I watch when we're on defense. And I'm locked in on 90. And I just haven't seen that burst that, you know, he allegedly has. Which
Ryan Anderson
sure
actually made a good play
Ryan
last
Anderson
night.
Had a good play. Landon Collins flashes. Mm-hmm. Daron Payne flashes. You see Ioannidis. And Sweat was close. But I want to see Sweat, like, all in the backfield all game long, and I just haven't seen that yet.
That was McKenzie doing that last night.
Right,
that was
right.
Against backups, but still.
But maybe he's just learning. I don't know. Maybe the game needs to slow down for him a little bit. But 800-636-1067, what are your impressions? Overall, I think I'm fairly pleased. Like to see the offense score more, though. I'm with Case. You want to see touchdowns, not field goals. Let's go to Carlos, Pennsylvania. Carlos, what's up, pal? You're on with the Junks.
How you doing, man? First-time caller.
Cool.
Reed, man. I think he's done, man.
Who?
I think
Jordan Reed.
Mm-hmm. I think
gotta
he's
turn
done.
Turn down your radio.
Huh?
You got to turn your radio down.
Okay, right. You hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so Reed, first-time caller. I mean, I think Reed is done, man. I mean,
hey, let me ask you this: have you ever called before?
I have him, man. I have him.
All right, sorry, let's go to Big.
You just can't have your radio on in the background.
Or your TV.
Go to Big Aki Geek, 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in from last night's game. Vic, what's up, pal?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Size for guys?
So this is...
You gotta like him.
Good running backs before. I mean, I like what I see him do. I'm not super size. I mean, the Falcons have been a rarely competitive team for the past 4 years. They had a 7-9 season last year. But, I mean, they're a pretty formidable organization, and they haven't won any preseason games in 4 years. So I'm not, like, superly excited. Guys show that he can be a good running back in the NFL. We need to see, I just said, see some consistency. But as far as what the team is, I agree with what I believe Cakes, you were just saying. The Redskins are a solidly talented team that doesn't show any real splash. And who I'm really paying attention to is how the coaches motivate and galvanize them to win. We see that they have players that can compete and can compete at a high level. Which can influence the football team. But my question is, what you were saying, EB, can you get Sweat to be a great player? Can you coach him up to be a great player? Can you push him? Can you motivate him? Can you challenge him to be a great player? Montez Sweat hasn't broken a sweat yet. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan, so I'm not going to say what everybody – well, don't say that. You know, he right now – well, you suck right now. You're not getting off the football. You don't got no pop in the backfield. You're not setting the edge. You're not causing any disruption in the run game. You're not doing any of that. You're not. Period. You're a first-round pick. I don't want to hear your excuses about you learning.
I haven't seen enough. I'm kind of with you. I haven't seen enough yet. Yeah.
But, again, it's the preseason. Okay.
It's true.
You know, they're running the most basic of basic defenses at this point.
Yeah, but you would think you would just see the sheer athleticism. And you see the size when you see them, but I haven't seen that burst. Now, maybe they've seen it in camp, but I haven't seen it yet in the preseason.
Thanks, Vic.
Who hung up on him? Did you? All right, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Jason in Stafford. Jason, what's up, buddy? You on with the Jux?
Hey, man. My daughter down to Tech watched the game last night. Got to say that size for Geis, he's a mean, violent runner, which we haven't had in some time. Excited about that. I think Keenum is serviceable. You know, I think he can get the ball where it needs to go. And, you know, the other thing I don't think you guys talked about this morning, why aren't we trading Trent Williams now? Get that number one. This year is probably a wash. Let's build for Haskins, build for next year, and get that pick. But I think
I don't know. I think the Redskins disputed that report, right? Immediately when it came out that they were offered a one and they turned it down. I think they disputed that, said it's 100% not true, but who knows?
I mean, if they were offered any sort of first-round pick, I don't care if it's the last pick in the first round for Trent Williams at this point, you would have had to have pulled the trigger and just say, you know what, if he's not going to play for us, I don't care that it's the 30th pick overall. I'm taking that pick, and I'm moving on.
Yeah. It's interesting that only like three or four teams have seemingly shown any real interest in Trent.
Right.
As good as he is. It shows you the wear and tear, the age, the fact that the contract status is somewhat up in the air is scaring a lot of people.
I mean, if I were the Skins, I would be on the horn with the Houston Texans until I got a deal done because they
lost another tackle, didn't they?
Just dropping every other day in practice.
Right. Hey, we should give a little credit where credit is due to a guy that is much maligned on the show. Samaje Perine looked okay.
He looked serviceable. He looked like he had a little more wiggle than he has in the first couple weeks. But, I mean, he's been around for 3 years now.
I understand that. I'm not overly impressed.
He didn't look bad in, like, mop-up duty. I'll give him that.
But I don't think did you think he looked markedly better than Byron Marshall?
You know what? I watched a little of the Byron Marshall. I saw him run sideways one time.
I don't care about Byron Marshall. Yeah. He's a non-factor.
I would say, yes, Samaje Perine looked better than Byron Marshall.
By the way, during the game last night, I tweeted that Darius Geis's fantasy stock was going up. That's all I tweeted. Mm-hmm. And people were... thought that I was equating him to Walter Payton. I mean, people are just crazy on Twitter.
Well, I think he went from someone who might have gone like 30 or something in terms of running backs, might have gone up to maybe top 15, top 20, right?
All I was saying is his stock improved with his performance.
Yeah,
I'd
seen a running back rating where I saw him like in the 30s.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're going to pick him.
Maybe he bumped up into the 15s or the 20s.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to pick him in the second round of your fantasy draft.
Yeah. I'll tell you who's impressed me more than Perine and Marshall is that Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
He's impressed me more than both those guys. And I'm sure they'll find a spot for him on the practice squad if nobody picks him up. I'm telling you, the Redskins have some pieces. Maybe none of them are going to be Pro Bowlers. None of them are going to be, you know, elite players. But they have enough players to compete and move the football. And if the defense is as good as advertised, man, maybe this season will be a little bit more interesting than what people think. You know, maybe they'll have a shot every week, especially with the Cowboys. I mean, how many of those guys where they have contract issues? Now, Dak is there. Is the receiver in camp?
Yeah, Amari Cooper's
so
there.
So Cooper's there. The
He's
only
a
one
banged up.
The only one that's missing is Zeke.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I saw a report yesterday. They actually expect him to be there in week one. I don't know if there's some movement in the contract negotiations, but they expect him to be there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. See how that plays out. Let's hope not. Let's hope he's real disgruntled and he wants to sit out the whole year.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. We'll talk to Rick Snyder from 106.7 The Fan and the Washington Post Express coming up at 720. Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, he'll join us at 9 o'clock. Next, the Nationals keep rolling with Max back in the rotation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're going to be talking Redskins throughout the show, the third preseason game where they actually got the win. I guess the Falcons never win. We talked to John Kincaid about that.
Yeah. Like you talked about.
They never win in the preseason. The Ravens always win in the preseason.
We should always bet against the Falcons. And bet on the Ravens going forward. Valdez, remind me of that, please.
I'll remind you for the fourth preseason game.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're going to jump into the Nats here, but before we start discussing the Nats, let's hook up some listeners with some tickets.
Ooh, let's.
10th caller at 800-636-1067. You'll win tickets to see the Nationals take on Baltimore August 28th at Nats Park. The Beltway Series returns to Nats Park on August 27th and 28th. Tickets are available at nationals.com, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. You can get details at thefandc.com/contest. So, again, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'd been waiting for Max Scherzer's return to the rotation. It was brief, but I think you have to be encouraged because he was out there for four innings. He did give up a run and four hits, only run that they allowed. The Nationals continue to roll. They've won eight out of their last 10. They're comfortably in that top wild card spot. Although it's not like a huge, huge gap between them and the teams that are chasing them in the wild card. Good relief pitching last night, too.
Yep, I was going to say,
Strickland gave him two innings. I think
Suero gave him an inning. Rodney gave him an inning.
Guerra.
You got to give him props. I mean, people want to trash this bullpen when they blow games, and they're going to blow some games. But when they go in there and pitch well like they did last night, you got to give them their props. So I thought it was good. It's hard for me to comment too much. This is one of those rare games that, you know, was on in regular time that I didn't watch because I was so locked in on the Skins. I was simply just checking the box. I was checking my phone. I was checking my computer. Didn't feel the need to turn over and watch.
This is the high water mark for the Nats so far, 13 games above 500.
What's amazing is they still can't gain ground on those bitch Braves. We've won 8 of 10 or 11 of 14 or 12 of 15, whatever the hell it is, and they've won 8 of 10 too.
Here's how they're going to gain
still 6 games
ground
back
on the Braves. They go 6-1 against them in the seven heads-up meetings.
That's what they're going to have to do.
That's going to
be hard. It's going to be hard.
Go 5-2 or 6-1 against the Braves, and then you can have a full-on NL East sweat.
So 5-2, you would gain 3 games, right? Three games in the standings.
I'll let you
I believe.
Do that math.
I think you gain 3 games in the standings because if you win 5, you're obviously gaining 5.
Yeah.
And you drop 2, it's 3.
I can't do that math at 6:44 in the morning, JP. You can.
Somebody asked me yesterday, said, what do you think about the Nats? They're a listener of the show. And said, how close do you think they need to be to catch the Braves in the division? And I said, well, they play them 7 times. I would say if they started September within 5 games, they have a shot. Because they play them all those times, but I also said I don't think it's that realistic because the Braves are really good.
The Braves are really good. Their lineup's insane, and I mean, the Nats have held their own against them, but they're 6-6, you know, in their 12 matchups this year. So, you know, in all likelihood, it's going to be probably a 4-3 scenario. One of the teams going to win 4 of these games, these 7, and the other team's going to win 3.
Look, I think it's going to come down to the one game wild card.
Yep.
You have to like your chances if Max Scherzer is completely healthy. They didn't throw him a ton yesterday, easing him into it. He went four innings. The key is, will he feel pain today? What's going to happen here in the next couple of days?
Because it's kind of ominous.
He came back against Colorado, pitched five innings the first time he was on the injured list. And then the next day or two, you started hearing, well, he pitched the five innings, which was fine, but he's got a rhomboid, he's got this, that, whatever. And then he was out for like a month and a half.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed, I guess. But just, you know, Max is just being realistic. And he said, this isn't the test. Tomorrow is the test.
Yes.
And so, you know, he was high-fiving guys, you know, reportedly back in the dugout when he finally got in there. So he was pleased with his performance, obviously. So I thought that was good. But we're not going to know until today or tomorrow how he really is.
Again, I like, you know, you'd probably like their chances with Strasburg on the mound,
too. I like it with Strasburg and Corbin.
But you want to have Max in that wild card game against the Cubs or the Brewers or the Phillies or the Mets, whoever they're facing in that wild card game. You want Max to be good to go. So I thought it was a good sign, but yes, today's the critical
Today's the day. And here's the thing, and we have to remember this. Like, they've really been playing well, and other than that game 2 games ago, just been hitting the cover off the ball. Mm-hmm. Last night was no different. Come playoff time, it's not going to be like that.
Sure, because you're going to be facing
it's not gonna be
the other team's Max
8
Scherzer.
To 1. It's not going to be 13-3.
Right.
It's going to be 1-0, 2-1. We're going to be in the seventh inning and only have 3 hits.
Right. You're not playing the Pirates. The Pirates are god awful.
So, as much as I love this offensive output, I want it to continue forever and never stop.
Yeah.
We know come playoff time, typically, it's not like that.
Well, sure, because even if they advance in the wild card game, let's say they win the wild card game, they play the Cubs, the Brewers, whoever the heck they play in the wild card game. Then they're going to play the Dodgers. And you're going to face Kershaw and Brewy, these guys who've got sick ERAs who are really good.
Yeah, and so we need the bats to still find a way to stay hot, but we know it's going to be low scoring. And that's really when the bullpen is going to be stressed because they're not going to be coming in the 6-1 game like they did yesterday, you know, and close them out, give up no runs. You know, it's going to be 2-1. And you're going to be, like, dying with every pitch.
You'll be biting your fingernails because somebody like Wander Suero, last night really good, but he's so hit or miss to me. That's why he's got that ERA around 6.
Well, he's been a lot better in the second half, to his credit. He did have the one bad outing 2 games ago. But he's been pretty darn good.
But Strickland's been really good for him.
I like Strickland.
I felt like, and we'll see what happens, when Doolittle returns, I felt like Strickland could emerge in this time as the closer.
It's a beast. Strickland's a beast.
Now, it could be Hudson, too.
And don't forget, and Mike mentioned on the show on Tuesday, Elias converted 14 to 16 saves earlier this year with the Mariners. So, I mean, he's a kind of a tested closer,
he's the
too.
Sure, Drab saw he's all the saves. He loves the Mariners. Loves all things Seattle. By the way, a big surprise, Anthony Rendon goes yard again. 2 more hits.
What an absolute monster.
He's got 101 RBI on the season.
He hit 324.
Yeah. I believe that's his.
Give that guy all the money
high.
In the world. Give him everything he wants.
Somebody's going to give him all the money in the world. I don't know if it's going to be the
Nets.
That's
his season
somebody
high
will.
For RBI, and he's got another month left.
Yeah.
And I think it was Grant. It definitely was Grant that tweeted this a couple days ago, and I'm all on board with it. I've seen enough. I'm 100% in agreement with Grant. Just offer him 10 years, 180 now.
Just Soto?
Yes. Just give Soto 10 years, 180 now.
10 years, 200.
Yeah, just lock him up, and that way you don't have to worry about it.
Now, if you're Soto, you probably look at it and say, I'm gonna wait.
Are you going to be able to at 20?
Now, I wouldn't be able to.
Because then at 30, you get another one.
Soto and his handlers are going to say, you might want to wait on that. But Acuna signed a similar deal.
Or you could
Atlanta.
Have generational wealth and set up your family forever at 20.
I would sign it in your blood. I couldn't wait to sign the deal, but he's going to be different.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, because Trout signed a deal early. Some of these guys signing deals early.
I know Anthony Rendon's going to sign a big
Rendon's not.
Whenever he signs.
Anthony Rendon is going to squeeze every nickel out of this deal.
He's not
giving
any discounts.
I don't think so.
If the learners think that they're going to get a hometown discount from Anthony Rendon and Scott Boras, they are sadly mistaken. And he's having his best year in a contract year. It's called All of the Stars Are Aligning.
Right.
It's perfection. It's nirvana.
Yeah.
It's what's happening for Anthony Rendon.
I'm trying to think. How much has Anthony Rendon already made? I think he's probably already made like $50 million in his career already.
I don't know how much he's earned at this point.
I'm going to look it up.
I know. In his next deal, he's going to earn about $250 million or more.
I'm going to tell you right now how much he's earned.
I know he doesn't have to live with the roommate.
that's correct. He could if he wanted to.
Sure.
He doesn't need to.
No. All right. Career. Yeah, he's made $50 million.
Yeah.
By the end of this year, he'll have made $50 million. And so he's going to add another $250, $300 in front of it.
He's 29. He's already amassed $50 million, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
That is crazy. Good for him.
So anyway, good. It's great to see. Nats are doing what they're supposed to do, right? Supposed to beat up on a team like the...
They beat up on the Hurricanes.
Like the Pirates are continuing to stay hot. They have to be, if not the hottest team over the last 60 or 70 games, right up there in the top two or three. So they're playing great baseball.
And we'll see come postseason if they are constructed differently than in the past. Part of the discussion at the beginning of the year was they're going to score runs in different ways. They're going to create more runs. They're going to have Trey Turner go for 80 stolen bases. Now, he was out a lot, and I just don't think that they've even tried that so much. How many steals does Trey Turner have?
Maybe 25 or 30, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, so we'll see what they do come postseason. Do they generate more runs? But they do have the ability. They've got some speed on the team. They have that ability.
He's got 26. Yeah.
They obviously have the ability to hit the long ball, but they can play some small ball as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing great. They've shored up the bullpen. It's not perfect. It's still the weakness of the team. But I like them. I think if they get hot, offensively, come playoff time, watch out. They get hot like this offensively, then sky's the limit. But if they go on a cold spell, like it typically happens, come playoff time and runs are hard to come by, then I think it could be tough because that's when I think the bullpen will really be stressed, and I think that's when they could cave.
And we did talk to Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM and president of baseball ops, on Wednesday about this. They're going to get Ryan Zimmerman back at some point.
Yep.
And I like when Matt Adams is in there and Howie Kendrick's in there offensively, but Zimmerman's the best defensive first baseman and could be a great pinch hitter. I don't know how much he's going to be starting down the stretch.
Right. It's interesting.
They've been loyal to him over the years. They always kind of put him back out there and say he's the number one guy.
How do you think they're going to handle him?
Matt Adams hits a ton of homers.
How do you think they're going to handle him in the future? He's basically said he doesn't care about the money. He said that.
I don't think he'll be here next year.
Well, he said, I don't care about the money. It's not about the money that he just wants to play.
Yeah,
and he wants to play here.
Personally, I don't think they're going to give him a roster spot.
You don't think they give him a roster spot for $5 million?
No.
Really?
That's just my personal opinion.
I think they might, too.
I mean, he's been the cornerstone of the franchise for a decade.
Why wouldn't you want, like, a Gold Glove first baseman?
You get him at a cheap price.
You get him at a cheap price, and when he's healthy, you trot him out there. When he's not, you don't.
Right.
Simple as that. Great guy to have off the bench.
I think they're going to move on, much like they moved on from, Jason Worth.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but he's indicated he does not care about the money at this point. So, it'll be interesting.
He's just not a consistently healthy player.
You can't rely on him, that's for sure. But that's why you just give him...
I care about the money. I'm going to raise my hand. Anybody else? Am I the only one?
Yeah, but once you've made $250 million, you might not care as much. Well, you just want to play baseball.
That hasn't happened, and I don't think it's going to happen.
I remember, I don't know if this will happen, but remember they were working out Juan Soto at first base earlier in the year. And there was some discussion that Soto could be the first baseman of the future.
Possibly. He's played a little better out in the field.
Right.
I think him and Robles both have improved this year. We've seen it. So, you know what? When they said that when Bryce left that the outfield defensively would be better, they were right. They're right. Especially with Robles and what he's doing with the putouts with his arm. He's been great at that.
That last one that I saw when he threw out the guy at home, I think they said it was 102 miles an hour off of his hand.
Guy's got a cannon.
Yeah.
Got a cannon, and it's pretty darn accurate, too.
I remember, coming up at 7:20, Rick Snyder is going to join us from 106.7 The Fan. We'll get back into the Redskins' third preseason game. But next, we're going to switch gears, talk some movies. Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.